Seated. Meditation today is in Psalm 54. Please turn there with me. Psalm 54. The Holy Spirit moved David to write, "Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them." Selah. "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, O Jehovah, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies." Now we note here that in the original Hebrew we have the superscription that it is dedicated to the chief musician with stringed instruments, which is how the singing was done in the temple by God's command. But we have no temple anymore, no earthly temple. The singers with their instruments were the Levites, and there are no ordained Levites anymore. So we think of the stringed instruments and other instruments of music as those things which were given by God in the Old Covenant as pictures, as types of the joy that we have in the Holy Spirit. Of course, many of you remember from Galatians chapter 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Paul goes on to say, against such things there is no law. So the very second thing mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Now, people in the Old Testament, in the times of promise, they were worked upon by the Holy Spirit. That's how they got circumcision in heart. And the Holy Spirit spoke to his people, the Old Covenant Church, through his word and through the prophets directly. But the Holy Spirit did not indwell them like he does us. And so we have that joy, which they had kind of a picture of in the musical instruments. Since we have the real thing, we don't mess around in worship with that which was something having to do with promise. We're getting into the substance here. David was moved to write this when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, "Is David not hiding with us?" Now, you may or may not remember the Bible history here, but Saul was seeking to find David to kill him. And David went to hide out in this deep forest in the territory that belonged to a clan of Judah, the people of Ziph. And these people of the tribe of Judah, David's own tribe, where they betrayed him to Saul. He was betrayed by those he thought would protect him, betrayed by those whom he thought would love him. And in this, David is a picture of Christ. This psalm speaks of Christ. For as we see in John chapter 1, verse 11, he, that is the Word, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name, as John goes on to say in verse 12. But the people of God, supposedly, the people of Judea, which were mostly the descendants of Judah, they rejected Jesus. They rejected him who was the Word become flesh. And even among his inner disciples, the 12, we think of Judas. He rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. He betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. So David here speaks of this in the first three verses. He cries out in complaint to God, "Save me, O God, by your name." Now, what does that mean? Well, God's name here stands for how he reveals himself. He reveals himself as a God of covenant, a God who is steadfastly connected to his people, a God who has a living and everlasting relationship to his people, a God who is a father to his people. So David is saying, look, you've revealed yourself as Jehovah. You've revealed yourself as I am who I am, the one who does not change, whose holy purpose is to save a people, to glorify his name, cannot change. Save me by that. Your character, your power, your knowledge, all these things that we know about you. And some of you will be starting to think here, perhaps, for our catechism question 4. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. By all that, God, come and save me. Vindicate me by your strength. Right? There were those in the court who were seeking the favor of Saul, who were telling all kinds of scurrilous lies about David. And his character was being torn down. This is what David is crying out for, that God would show the way things really are. Vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Right? Strangers, they were his own kin, yet they'd made themselves estranged by their sinful attitude, have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. These are particularly Saul and those working with him. They've not set God before them. Selah. And stop and think about that. They're powerful. There are a bunch of them. What help is there? What kind of hope can there be? Well, his hope is in God. And so, after we think about things for a moment, we go on to verses 4 and 5. And here, David, in faith, looks to the fact that God is his helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. See, David hasn't seen the deliverance yet. And if you look at the Bible history in 1 Samuel, it was a few years yet before he was elevated to the throne and Saul was destroyed by God. But in faith, knowing who God is, he anticipated God's deliverance there. And in verses 6 through 7, he anticipates his godly response. I will freely sacrifice to you. I'm not obligated by your law to do this. I'm making a vow here. I will praise your name. Again, there we have it. I will praise you for who you are and what you do. Well, praise, actually, the difference between praise and thanks, sometimes we get these blurred. I talk about how sometimes we blur righteousness and holiness. We sometimes blur thanks and praise. We thank someone for what they do. We praise them for what they are. All right? When Judy makes up a wonderful supper, I will tell her, thanks for this great salad, which is what we had last night, a chef's salad. And I maybe will say, thanks for that, beautiful, or thanks for that, sweetheart. Right, the beautiful part is praise for what she is. Right, the thanks is for what she did. So God here is praising God's name. He is declaring how glorious God is in every way that he reveals himself. He has delivered me out of all trouble. As I say, that's going to go on for a year or two or three yet. And my eye has seen his desire upon my enemies. But that is what we are assured of. When we are in trouble, when we are in difficulty, David could be assured because of what his descendant would someday do as he looked forward to Jesus Christ. We look back. No longer are we looking forward to the fulfillment of promise. We're looking back to the fulfillment, right? It's all done now. And so we should give a sacrifice of praise, a consecration of ourselves. We should praise God's name, Jehovah's name. we should be glorifying him for who he is, because he's delivered us out of all trouble. And our eyes have seen their desire upon all our enemies. This is the assurance we have in the person and work of Jesus Christ, our resurrected, ascended, victorious Savior. Well, let's sing from a version of this, Psalm 54.